Welcome to the last Sunday of the Church Year Worship Podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota. November 26, 2023, this is Pastor Olana. We began our service in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truths and teach us, for your God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. Let us confess our sins. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new right and a spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen. Since we confessed our sins, now hear the absolution. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us, and through Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's power. Through the faith installed in us by the Holy Spirit, we know, and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ, that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing praise to God, the highest good, the author of creation, the God of love who understood our need for His salvation. With healing balm our souls He fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God
our first reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 11 through 24. The epistle is taken from 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 20 through 28. The gospel is taken from the gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. Let us pray. Eternal God, merciful Father, you have appointed your Son as the judge of the living and the dead. Enable us to wait for the day of his return with our eyes fixed on the kingdom prepared for your own from the foundation of the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God and now forever. Amen.
Blessed day to you. This is a Bible study of the epistle lesson for the last Sunday after Pentecost, the end of the church year. We begin with prayer. O God, we thank you for revealing yourself and your will for us through your word. We thank you for revealing that at the end of this world, that we who have faith in Christ live with you eternally. We thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit as we study your word. Keep us strong in our faith, increase our love for you and for our neighbor, and keep us steadfast in our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, our theme is the resurrection of the dead. The basis of our study is the famous chapter about the resurrection, which Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, and that's in chapter 15. We begin our study with some thoughts by Dr. Martin Frauzmann as he summarizes this chapter on the resurrection. The resurrection of the dead stands or falls with the firmly attested fact of the resurrection of the Christ who died for our sins. Paul, in writing to the 1 Corinthians, marshals the witnesses to that fact, and these witnesses include Peter, the 12, 500 brethren at once, James, the head of the church in Jerusalem, all the apostles, and finally to Paul himself. So firmly established is the link between the two, between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of those who are his, that the reverse is also true. The resurrection of Christ stands or falls with the resurrection of the Christian dead, and if the resurrection of Christ falls, all is lost. The cross is indeed emptied of its power, for no mere martyr's death can assure the forgiveness of sins. What the apostles are proclaiming is nothing more than a lie, if that is true. What the church believes is nothing, and the church's hope is nothing. Christian suffering and martyrdom have all lost their purpose. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And that fact is the all-controlling fact of all history. As surely as all people are under the judgment of God, in a solidarity of dying with Adam, so surely all men and women, by God's acquitting judgment, are destined to be made alive, destined to share in his triumph over death. And in his final obedience to the Father, that God may be everyone, we are raised, and we who have faith are raised to life eternal. That's as far as Dr. Frauzmann. The particular section of 1 Corinthians 15 that we're going to read is verses 20 through 28. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection. But when it says all things are put in subjection under him, it's plain that he is accepted who put all things under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things under him, that God may be everything to everyone. Thus far the reading. We begin with what is happening in our daily lives. As a Christian, we live in two kingdoms. One is the earthly kingdom, or our government, as we say in the United States. The other is a spiritual kingdom, ruled by Christ Jesus, who is risen from the dead and has ascended to his throne in heaven at the right hand of God. The apostle puts it this way in our text. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet, that is, Christ's feet. So as long as the world remains, we live in both the civil government and the spiritual government of Christ. The reason for Christ continuing to reign over all is explained by the apostle with these words, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Those enemies basically are the devil and his angels, the world and all the people who refuse to follow the true God, and finally death itself. Someday, whether sooner or later, we don't know, when all is accomplished by Christ, the world will end and Christ will reign unopposed. The Apostle Paul writes about the final enemy when he says, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." That tells us why the resurrection is so important. Christ rose from the dead on the third day after his death, and because he rose, he has the power of the resurrection, which he will exercise on the last day when he raises all the dead. But only those who have been following him in his kingdom now by faith will continue on in life with him. The thing that prevents people from living with God now is sin. But we who live in Christ's spiritual kingdom have accepted the forgiveness God gives to us by faith in Christ. This is because it is Christ himself who paid the price for our forgiveness by his suffering and death. We know that price was acceptable to God because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. As Christians, then, we confess our sins daily and daily receive God's forgiveness and thus are assured of our resurrection to eternal life. That is why those who are still living in their sins should seek God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Finally, we need to say a more precise word about sin and its reality. This is something we all have to deal with. It is something we are born with and causes us to do things contrary to our Creator's will. To know what is all included in sin, we can either check the commandments God gave or listen to our conscience, which speaks to us about God's natural laws. For instance, laws about death, or sins of adultery, or stealing, or talking evil against someone. Whichever accuses us, we must deal with sin by confessing them to the true God, accepting the forgiveness he offers through Jesus Christ, trust him, and then with his help, try to avoid such sins in the future. Living with a clean conscience, one that has been forgiven its sins, through Jesus Christ, is a blessing that brings God's joy into our lives. Living with a clean conscience helps us look forward to our resurrection from the dead, when we will live eternally with God. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and you, O Holy Spirit, forgive our sins and bring your joy into our lives. Give us the hope of the resurrection and all its blessings, so that we look forward to living with you eternally, since we can live with you now in your grace and mercy. We pray that you would keep us steadfast in your grace and truth, protect and comfort us in all temptation, defend us against all enemies of your word, and bestow upon us your saving peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us close our service for this morning with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.